watching New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Reg, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend John DeLuna. It's New Soundwave 83. Joining me, Peter, a.k.a.K. Bweebum, and the beautiful Rob Springer, freshly shaven.
Even hey, trimmed the beard.
Just for
you guys.
Hey, well, I mean, you know.
I got one good for boys, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. We're groomed. We're groomed.
Shirt's
we're
not clean, but whatever. It's the internet.
Manscaping. Okay, so this week was
E3,
and actually in our like 2 minute pre-show we were just talking about it. E3 as a whole kind of light on news, but there were some big things. First of all, a little tidbit on Halo because it's kind of popular. Halo 4 was talked about at E3, and it will be part of a new trilogy. So, essentially, they're saying get ready for at least 3 more Halos, as if we didn't expect that.
Yeah,
Halo 4 is out next year. The developer is a brand new development shop, 343, and they've been tasked with handling the entire Halo brand. And this is the return of Master Chief. Hooray. Halo 4 is set in the aftermath of Halo 3. And Master Chief returns to confront his own destiny and face an ancient evil that threatens the fate of the entire universe.
Oh, yeah. And jump off a spaceship and land on Earth unscathed.
Yeah.
Cortana! Halo awesome! Extreme!
So, Halo 4, awesome. 2012 is going to be actually a big year for first-person shooters, just based on Halo 4 and BioShock Infinity alone are probably going to be make it like a huge, huge year. So that's Halo 4. What has captivated most of us, I think, from E3 is the Wii U.
Right.
It's the Wii 2, essentially. It's the next-gen console.
Can I say that's a dumb name? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
So I guess it's because the Wii is Wii and U is U. I mean, is that what they're saying? Like, it's Wii and U?
The Wii, remember the Wii sales pitch when they came up with the name, they said, hey, the Wii, it's us, it's you, it's the Wii. And now they're like, it's the Wii and you. They're playing off the whole, it's all of us together. And even they're like, you don't like the name, but you know what, you're going to accept it. And they're true. And people did it like, well, yeah, it's called the Wii. The wiener jokes kind of went away and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's not 2005 anymore.
Yeah.
We're way past the dick jokes. Although, I will say that the U looks like a certain other thing. So get ready for that. Hey, the Wii U. So like I said, it's a new console. There was some confusion, I think, when it first broke, because, frankly, everybody is fixated on the controller. So everybody thought it was actually just a new controller for the Wii. It is not, in fact. It is a new console, too. So the controller that everybody's going crazy over. No, go ahead. I mean, it's essentially like we said. It's got a touch screen, and it looks, frankly, like a handheld game all onto its own. Each controller, sometimes it can be.
Yeah, they admittedly focused hardcore on the controller, and you barely even saw the actual console itself. And it's obvious that that Nintendo is not focusing on the console when they're trying to. Controller scheme, so.
Well, think about it. That's worked for them for the past decade.
That's true.
That's true. Wii.
That is true. So actually, I guess this is a fitting sequel to the Wii, since it's
one of these with your sticks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, the Wii U has a touchscreen controller, as most of us probably know by now. It's got a directional pad. It's got analog sticks. It's got 4 buttons, at least 4 buttons on the front face of the controller. In the demo, it frankly functions a lot like a tablet, kind of like an iPad or a standard, your usual run-of-the-mill tablet. You can flick, you can do multi-touch, you can scale, you can do all the things that any tablet does these days. And you can play games on it, of course.
actually, the controller uses a resistive touchscreen versus capacitive, so it only inputs one finger at a time or a step.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Don't know why.
Go ahead, Peter.
No, I said they might have done that for cost reasons, but
I'm assuming
resistive is definitely far inferior, like much more inferior than capacitive. So.
Well, remember Nintendo, ever since Nintendo 64, had been focused on keeping it cheaper than the other consoles.
That's true.
And it works in their favor.
That's true. And when you consider this is a console which you'll probably have two controllers for, and each controller has a touch screen, I'm sure they had to really think through cost-cutting.
Well, think about the first few years of Wii. You had no choice but to buy a first party until the third one, party one started cranking out, and they were expensive. Mm-hmm. So once again, it's like, hey, when Mad Cat comes out with their version, at least it'll be more than a dollar less this time.
Yeah. And it'll be black, and it'll have flames on it. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, and only work for a day.
It'll be for grown-ups. Oh, yeah.
Shaped all weird, and it kind of hurts to hold.
So, yeah, it won't actually work, but it'll look cool. A little bit more about the controller. It has a gyroscope in it. It has an accelerometer in it. It's got a rumble feature, which is kind of standard. It's got a camera, a microphone, and speakers, not to mention a sensor strip and a stylus.
Mm-hmm.
All that, and Nintendo still swears up and down that it's not intended to be kind of a standalone system, but it sure is close to one.
What else are you going to get for this thing?
Yeah, what else do you need? And you know, they've already shown you can play games without, in the controller, within the controller itself,
mm-hmm.
the game on the screen.
Okay, so you don't monopolize the TV. Dad wants to watch Monday Night Football. Fine. You know, or hey, your partner wants to watch Glee or something. Oh, it's okay.
Okay. I got the Wii U.
Or, like what I like to do in my DS, I like to kick back and listen to TV while playing a game. Well, you know what? Hey, cool. Awesome. Playing the new Zelda. Awesome. Malibu Swan is on again.
Now, there is a little bit of controversy. If you saw the demo of the initial demo of the Wii U, there were a lot of games being played on it. Those actually weren't Wii U games. Those were actually Xbox 360 and PS3 games that they placed on the Wii U screen. Interesting and a little bit controversial. Certainly wasn't disclosed in the demo videos themselves. But, I think that's something that probably people will kind of, you know, sneer at and snicker at. Hopefully it'll blow over. But it is a little bit of black eye for Nintendo to just kind of rip competitor footage and gameplay and put it on their screen. They do swear that the Wii U will be a true next gen. It'll compete as far as horsepower quite well with the current gen systems. 1080p, 1080i, HDMI, all that good stuff. It will be a powerhouse, like I said, of the system. And of course, it's going to have many of your favorite games. The one thing that I think we can all look forward to on the Wii U is another round of Mario games, another round of Zelda games, and a Metroid or two.
Yeah.
And
I'm happy.
People criticize the Nintendo game, Nintendo consoles, for just having a few bread and butter titles and not much else. But those are hell of a bread and butter titles.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Let's face it: you buy a console, you're going to buy more bread and butter games than you are the ones. I mean, it's like, hey, Microsoft, you know, I got my Xbox. Yeah, Halo. Yeah. And then I also have. There's always those first party ones you're going to get regardless. I mean, PlayStation, God of War, you know, people, Nintendo's just got the, they kind of get, what do you call it, Raspberry that for it, but everyone else does it too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and there's absolutely a selling feature, though. It's like, hey, do you like Mario? Yes, his ass ain't one Master Chief.
Yeah, I mean, this ain't no Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
I mean, we ding Nintendo, but everybody knows that if they put Mario, his name and his face on the game, it's going to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, it's way out of the ordinary. You know,
it's pure business, and they're successful at it.
Absolutely. Okay, so, you know, we could go on and on about the Wii U, and maybe next week we'll have even more to talk about, but kind of moving on. A little tidbit, one of the games that is being developed for the Wii U is Ninja Gaiden 3, which is, as we all know, will be impossible to beat.
Because it'll cheat,
Yeah, it's going to be broken on level 1. One of the things I did read about Ninja Gaiden 3 is that apparently, I guess this is a selling point, it's going to be one of the bloodiest games you've ever seen.
Ooh. Bloodier than Splatterhouse?
Yeah, no kidding. Look how well Splatterhouse did.
The newest one, a monster bleeds out of its butt after you kill it.
Oh,
big step to step over.
Wouldn't it be, like, more gross and accurate if he just, you know, shit his pants? Like, you know, if his bowels released? Because that happened.
It's like it just falls over and there's an anus of blood pouring out. It's like, well, I think there's a new plateau of gore.
Well, so you're like, well, that was fun. Because I feel like you should.
You know, if this is what being a hardcore gamer is, screw it, I'm 33, I won't play Mario, I'm just playing games.
I know. Tell me about it. I need to see if Kilby or anybody else is on Xbox Live to play, I guess, Mortal Kombat. I don't know. You know what? Like you, Rob, I'm not a 13-year-old boy anymore, and, like, the gore, God bless you if you love the gore, but I'm a little old.
It's getting a bit like, okay, the novelty. And mind you, I like Garbage Pail Kids and horror movies and all this stuff. I'm like, there's a point where it works out. There's a point that, okay, I get it. I shot him.
I don't know. I guess it's like, people are like, oh my God, it's so bloody. You're right. It's like when you were 16, you know, when you played shooters and stuff like that. Like, oh my God, there's so much blood. Now you're like, great, there's blood.
You know, I think it's the virginity to game ratio that really starts, you know.
Once you get laid, the blood just doesn't work anymore.
They'll correct it. Laid regularly. Because you might gain that virginity back if it's been a little while, or if it was the drunk fat chick at the LAN party or something.
So, oh my gosh.
You know, when you start happily having sex.
God.
That's right. And soon, I guess I kind of agree with that. Okay, so
there's a difference.
So very good. Okay, on that point, on that moment of truth by Rob, let's talk a little bit about Sony. This is actually a positive.
Wait. Skyward Sword, holiday 2011. Sorry.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Very nice. Good stuff. No, good stuff. Okay, so PlayStation. The PlayStation Vita, which is formerly known as the PSP 2 or the Next Gen Portable, it has a name. It's officially the PlayStation Vita. So this is a Next Gen handheld from PlayStation, which again, the PSP lasted 10 years, 7 years. I want to give it 10 years, but it lasted about, you know, between 5 and 7 years.
It could go 10 years the way Sony does their stuff.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, this is, and that's, you know, not bad. It sold 70 million units.
Fair enough.
In its life. It's okay, all right? Especially for a system that, let's be frank, had no software support.
Somehow it sold.
Somehow it was pretty big in Japan.
I've got one.
It's a Vita. takes its place. It will run you $300 for the 3G version. And $250 for the Wi-Fi only model. By the way, AT&T is the official 3G carrier for the PlayStation Vita. So it looks a lot like the PSP, to be frank. It looks almost exactly like the PSP. Of course, the horsepower is quite a bit different. It's going to have quite a few marquee games on it. One of the big ones that they are touting is Street Fighter Cross Tekken. And it looks really good, actually. It looks very much on par with the 360 and PS3 versions of the game. Sony, before we kind of get into this a little bit more, some of the things that Sony is saying is it's going to have a 5-inch multi-touch display. It's got a rear touchpad, dual analog sticks. It's really, you know, if you want to be fair, kind of an evolution of the PSP. So don't think it's like a reinvention, and don't think it's like a completely new idea. It's more of, this is the PSP on steroids. This is kind of a beefed up PSP. It's not, say, the leap that the Wii U is from the Wii. So Rob, as a PSP owner, I mean, what do you think about the PS Vita? Does it excite you? Does it get your interest?
Honestly?
Jollies in a twist.
Honestly, I'll be truthful with you guys. You know that saying, hurt me once, shame on you, hurt me twice, shame on me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going here. It's like I'm not even paying it any realistic attention. It's like, oh, that's nice. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, and I really look forward to my PSP. It had a lot of potential, and I'm sitting here...
And, you know, the chat brings up a good... You know, and to that point, like, the chat brings up a good point. We got to see some games for this. I mean, you know,
yeah. We
saw one, okay? They're touting, like I said, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, but that's essentially like a showpiece, just to show the graphics.
Bring the software, Sony.
Well, you know...
Yeah, where's the rest of it?
I'm going to call the bluff and do something other than the God of War, Ratchet and Clank, and Crash Bandicoot. You know, just, you know. Yeah.
Something.
I am forgiving Nintendo for not showing off a lot of stuff for the Wii U because, you know, you got another year left before it comes out. Yeah, it's got a year. But NGP is coming soon, like very, very soon. And they've even announced pricing and stuff. And yet, all they're showing off is Street Fighter X Tekken. Like, all the other ones they've shown off are, you know, they're not big titles and they're just like little ones, so...
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm gonna straight say it. Sony's been at this since the early 90s. They should know better by now. That I'm gonna put a system out, I can't just sell it on the fact that it's specs.
Yeah.
I gotta sell it on something.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, you know, where's your more of your strategy? Like,
last time a system came out with nothing, it was called the Saturn. And the Saturn was a great system. Yeah, it came out with, like, a game for, like, what, a couple of months? I'm sorry, guys. That doesn't work out. I can't go, man, look at that. Look at that. That is pure power. Yeah, what can you do with it? Nothing.
Look at this. This thing looks slick. This thing is hot. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's, like, the only language that Sony speaks, I think.
Yeah.
Actually,
whoever did the PlayStation planning for the PS1 and PS2, they need to bring that guy back on the board somewhere. Even just an advisor role. Look, this is what we need to do. We need to put some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And coast on it.
So a couple other quick PlayStation things before we jump over to some other topics. So at their press conference at E3, Sony has claimed that the PlayStation 3 has 30% of the Netflix streaming market. One may say that's because everybody's too busy playing video games on the 360. And then also, if you didn't love PlayStation enough, how about a PlayStation-branded 3D TV? Sony's offering a bundle that includes a 24-inch 3D TV, a pair of 3D glasses, a copy of Resistance 3, a 6-foot HDMI cable, all for $500, extra pairs of glass, 3D glasses. This is why people don't buy 3D. So, okay, so an extra pair of glasses will run you $70 a piece. Okay, so before we move on to our topic, I'm going to post in chat, this is why you should listen to us live. I'm going to post in chat an awesome, awesome find at E3. This is only a prototype, but by prototype, I mean they plan to sell it. It is a portable Super Nintendo. You heard that right. It looks like a giant SNES controller, and you pop that awesome SNES cartridge right into the top of it. It's called the Super Boy. It looks awesome. We hope and pray that it comes out. The estimated price is only $80. Can you imagine an $80 handheld Super Nintendo?
That would be system.
You could walk. It'd be awesome. You could walk into like a, you know, a used game store, pick up some like $5 SNES games, and you're set. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We can only hope that it happens. Okay, so the topic, guys. The topic is actually Mortal Kombat. It is, and it isn't the topic. So I caught up. I was away on BotCon, reporting and slash vacationing last week. And so, but I was unlucky enough, I guess, to catch up on Mortal Kombat. We're 8 episodes in. We have seen Sub-Zero murder the Scorpion and all his crew, his family, and then, of course, be resurrected as a
demon. No explanation whatsoever.
Yeah, no explanation.
A fire demon.
Yes, a wraith.
Suddenly on fire.
Yes, suddenly on fire and under the control of Shang Tsung and Quan Chi. Very nice, Quan Chi. So, guys, just to recap, I mean, I guess it's okay. I mean, the series is essentially a sci-fi special at this point, right? Am I right?
No, it's worse than a sci-fi special.
It's better because it's not 2 hours long.
That's true. Like, yeah, total running time so far is probably like 45 minutes, I think.
Or like 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's between like 15 and 45 minutes. Okay, so here's the news, actually. That we can talk about. It's actually been delayed the last 2 episodes. We didn't get any this week, and we're not going to get episode 9 and 10, which are the final 2 episodes, until next month. Some people have speculated that maybe it's because they are rethinking the last 2 episodes. Maybe they want to add a little bit more, you know, quality. It may be a little too late to add a little writing. But also, there's a possibility, and there's probably a strong possibility, that the last episode will be shown at Comic-Con towards the end of July. And actually, the director teased us with a Twitter pic of Cyrax, his mask, on Twitter. And so apparently, that's going to, the cyborg ninjas are going to factor into the last 2 episodes.
Turns out they work at Jiffy Lube.
I can only hope.
Yeah.
I can only hope. I just hope it all ends up being like somebody's dream.
I honestly expected the reason that wasn't coming out this week is the director threw out just a giant crybaby hissy fit over the fact that people are making fun of his show. I mean, just like, because you know, for the Raiden one, he decided to put in that thing saying, "This is my take on it. It's dark and gritty." In case you couldn't figure out what I'm going with this, it's dark and gritty. It's my take. It's my artistic take. That should remind you guys what this is. You know,
that's right.
This one's gonna have a subtitle. Seriously, fuck you, Rob.
So I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think we're resigned to the fact that Mortal Kombat Legacy is going to be pretty bad overall. But it got me thinking. And hopefully this is something that you guys have some opinions on. Best and worst video game, movie, or series. Do any of them jump out at you? I gotta say, I went back and watched like Super Mario Brothers a couple weeks ago. Don't ask me why, but I just did. And it's terrible, but in a kind of fun, holy crap, it's Dennis Hopper with a forked tongue and John Leguizamo jumping around on giant spring shoes. I did enjoy it. And then there's also like Street Fighter, which has so many like, you know, unintentionally funny moments that you gotta love.
Yeah. You know, confession, guys. Who saw these movies in the theater when they came out?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you had a good time, didn't you?
I walked out, please.
Me too. We were kids, though, so I guess it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's very easy to please children, isn't it?
Yes, our opinion didn't count.
I remember sitting in the audience watching Ninja Turtles 3, and one of the trailers they showed was Super Mario Brothers. And when the camera goes up and it shows Mario and Luigi in their outfits, like in the elevator, every kid in that place is like, whoa! So, hey. It didn't make a whole lot of money, but until you've passed that happy virginity stage, apparently it was a good movie. Hey, man, this is terrible.
So here's a question. We all know that Hollywood likes to put their own spin on these properties, right? So they take Super Mario and they say, you know what? The plot line of the game is for kids, or it's too dumb, or we just can't do it. Or with Mortal Kombat even, or most games. Resident Evil is probably a very famous one, where they just completely diverge from what came before, what people have seen in the game. A game that was so popular, it spawned a movie. So, I mean, do you guys agree with Hollywood in their opinion? You know, we got to rework this. We got to give them a whole new experience. Or do you think there is merit in, say, doing a movie version of the game itself, of the plot line of the game? So, you know, people have played Resident Evil a ton of times, and a Resident Evil movie comes out. Do you think it's a good idea to give them a whole new experience with people, with characters who essentially just have the same name, or do a movie version of Resident Evil 1 with the same plot and then the same characters, and, you know, even though the gamers know what's going to happen, the general audience doesn't, and there's that familiarity?
I think it kind of depends on the property as well as the intended audience, because, like, okay, Doom. The plot of Doom is a paragraph on the back of the box. So, of course, in the movie, they got creative. Didn't creative in the right way, but at least they got creative. But, you know, something like Resident Evil, when it's like, they didn't have to follow the game perfectly, but I think so full of plot, they have plenty to pick from, as opposed to, let's make another movie and call it Resident Evil, and something that looks like something will be in it. Silent Hill was pretty close to it, but I think as far as movie games goes, that aren't animated, you know, real movies, that actually kind of got somewhat close to the source material, am I right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it does happen from time to time.
I mean, does Resident Evil really have that much source material?
Well, yeah, at this point, it's got a ton, probably too much, really.
I would say it have enough to make a very flaky movie, yeah, without heavy on plot, but at least be able to drive itself along on its own merit.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rob, I mean, you make a great point that some games don't have a plot. There's nothing to write. There's no screenplay to write there.
Well, I mean, but Mario, it's a...
Yeah, like
the princess is kidnapped, he's got to rescue her, so while we fill us in, that they didn't have to visually and redo everything. I was kind of hoping, and I still do hope, for a movie like Labyrinth or something. Yeah. That, I think, would work out. But, you know, they went the route they did, which it was almost 20 years ago, we can't do anything about. But, like, I've never even watched a Tomb Raider movie. Is there any close to the source material at all, other than just she jumps around and shoots... dog?
I mean, not really. Oh, visually, the first Tomb Raider is pretty close. But okay. As far as, like, plot, I mean, it's just, it's not really that close. Visually, they clearly tried to stay true to the game, and that's something. I mean, there's some video game movies that just, you know, totally change everything. But Tomb Raider was okay. Okay. They had respect for the source material. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
And like, say, well, and then you get stuff like I said, like Double Dragon or Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, good stuff. Good stuff. Again, you know, no plot, or at least in like the case of Street Fighter, every character has a completely conflicting plot. So you know, you're just gonna have to like throw it out. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see with there have been a couple of big properties that have come down the line, Halo and World of Warcraft. Now, both those have gotten caught in, like, development hell, probably because they're so touchy as properties. And, you know, it's just hard to get a director to really kind of commit to those properties for whatever reason. It'll be interesting to see what they do with those.
I think World of Warcraft is better left off not making it to a movie, because only one person is going to be happy, because it's not a game where everyone's game is the same. It's a role-playing game. It's going to end up like Dungeons and Dragons. It's going to be like completely different. I mean, we're going to have a movie where a guy running around saying Leroy Jenkins for 2 hours. I mean, everyone's... Yeah, Halo, it's got a pretty strong narrative, but, you know, as gamers, we can only pat ourselves on the back so many times to say this narrative is going to carry a two-hour movie. Mm-hmm. It only has to carry a few minutes every couple hours of gameplay.
And Halo has a disadvantage of being, it's the type of game and the type of fiction that if you're going to do it right, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really, really pricey movie. So we'll see if they get around to doing a Halo movie, and I think they probably will. I mean, for God's sakes, like you said, they're going to have to
do CGI most of it. It can do CGI in the background.
Halo has an advantage and a disadvantage, as it's built into a franchise that tries to present itself as a serious sci-fi franchise. It's got the novels and the games and all. They try to present themselves as a serious business. So whoever licenses it out is obviously going to have to keep in with the tone set forth by the owners of the franchise, who owns everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as we've seen with other things, you know, if it keeps some of the tone, great. But really, why are they kung fu fighting sheep? Just the random stuff they come up with for the movies itself. It's like, what's Master Chief doing? Well, we decided Master Chief didn't work out, so Master Chief has a gang of buddies, and Cortana's walking along with them, because, you know, that whole thing just ain't going to work out, buddy, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. A love interest. He's got all right. He's got a ninja friend, a tough friend.
The problem is, movie makers are really good at making movies. They're making movies that sell. And they Transformers the movie, just to go back with RC a little bit. Why is it about a boy in his car? Because Steven Spielberg knew what would sell. And go figure, it made a buttload of money. These are movie makers, and even if they are gamers, because everyone plays games these days, they're still going to be like, yeah, great, I'm talking about my living for the next few years. I'm going to make something that sells. I mean, I think Peter Jackson's probably our only filmmaker who, because he was attached to the Halo project for a while there, that I had faith in it, because he knows how to handle adaption. He's going to change stuff if he has to, but he's going to try to keep it somewhat close to the source material, because he knows how to he takes adaption seriously, apparently.
Yes. Yes.
But someone else, they're going to be like, look, I know, you worked with Jack Black and stuff, but the guys paying for this want this in it, and your star power is not enough to convince them not to. And that's what happens. The producers who pay for it, the investors and all that, are like, they look at this and are like, no, we want to see people like The Rock. Yeah, put The Rock in there. People love The Rock. They'll bring in money. Because that's where, I mean, this is serious business. They're like, mashing the air stuff that's going to make a lot of money. That's why you get things like, that's why Webster happened. Webster was a totally different show before Different Strokes was a hit. That's what these movie makers do.
Excellent point. Excellent use of Webster, by the way.
It just popped
up. Speaking of The Rock, I saw Fast Five this weekend. I was hoping for worse. I was hoping for bad entertainment.
So you're saying that it wasn't bad?
I have not seen
it. I'm saying The Rock can't act, is what I'm saying. Spoiler alert.
I'm gonna argue with there. You know why? Because
I
haven't seen a single Fast and Furious, and unless it has Burt Reynolds in it, I don't care. As far as horror movies go.
Right.
But honestly, and this was a bad movie.
It's just called Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, talk about Gator
Cannon and Ball in it.
White Lightning, Cannonball Run, come on, man. The man knows car movies. Anyway, and this was a bad movie. I watched Tooth Fairy on In Demand the other day.
Nice.
This was not a good movie at all. I mean, it's a family movie, so it's not going to be amazing, but this was not a good movie. Dwayne Johnson acted his holy people-loving elbow ass off in this movie trying to sell the concept. I mean, he was the only one actually putting effort in the whole movie. And like I said, it's not a good movie, but at least you say, hey, Dwayne's putting some effort. Go figure it's this, but he put in some damn effort. I mean, he acted his ass around. He sold that concept.
He's done some good films. I wouldn't say that he's...
He's been in some good films. He might not be the driving thing.
You're right.
Be cool. Hey, what was it? Running, Walking Tall?
I didn't see that.
What was the one with Christopher Walken? He was good.
The Rundown.
The Rundown. The Rundown was fun.
Stifler.
The Rundown.
He's good for movies that aren't advertised as being movies starring The Rock.
The Rundown was
Star of The Rock. Okay, maybe that's... I'm just saying...
But it was also kind of like an ensemble kind of type thing. It's like, oh, Christopher Walken, you're not dead, that kind of thing.
And, Sniffler, yeah.
Some actors need another actor. John Travolta's not very fun to watch without someone for him to act off of.
Yeah, that's Sam Jackson. What is he?
Right. Sam Jackson can act by himself, but he's that great prop actor that... Jack Nicholson plays the same role in every movie. He plays Jack Nicholson, but you like him. But who's Jack Nicholson with? Well, he's arguing with Ellen Hunt this time. It's great.
Right. All right. Okay.
This is a good chat.
This is screencast. That was a tease. That was a preview screencast, our brand new podcast that talks about these kind of things. But I think since we got off on that tangent, that should wrap up New Sound Waves 83 for this week. Like I said, next week we'll probably have a little bit more on the stories that came out of E3, and hopefully a little bit more on Wii U, a little bit more on Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which is getting boffo reviews, I must say. It's probably the game's about 50% built.
Let me tie the plot back in the games. If only Resident Evil had this quality of acting in that intro.
Hell yes. Yeah, I'd be watching it now. Okay, so on that note, like I said, that will do it for New Sound Waves 83 for the cast, for Peter, for Rob, for Brian, our producer and host of RFC. He's taking a nap. I am John DeLuna.
There he is.
And we'll see you next week for Sound Wave 84.
Thanks for listening.
This has been New Sound Wave. With your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilby, XV, Lady Rick, Weebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.